This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Rosemary Steak from Columbus, Ohio, and you're listening to Tack Talk on Horses in the Morning, part of the Horse Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, September 3rd, episode number 736. This episode is brought to you by Equus Now. Good morning, horse world.
We're going shopping.
I got it on sale.
Aw, baby, take it back.
It was such a bargain.
We got 12 of them already.
Open your checkbooks and tighten your earbuds because we're about to embark on another round of Tack Talk with Equus Now. Well, welcome back to the show, everybody, and welcome back to the show, you, Rose. Good to have you back.
Thank you, Glenn. I'm very excited to be here.
It's always tough coming back on a Tuesday after a 3-day holiday, though. You know,
I'll tell you, though, it's all good, though. It's all good.
Well, good. Did you have a wonderful weekend?
I had a fantastic weekend. I went to San Francisco with my family and had a great time, but it's good to be back.
Well, good. Very good. Well, we hung around here. We didn't do a lot. And, you know, I like those weekends occasionally, too. It's nice to hang out with the horses and just be at home.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, I have a bone to pick with you, something I have to discuss with you that happened as a result of the last show that we did last month. And, of course, you are listening to Tack Talk. It's our once-a-month time with Rose from Equus Now to talk about everything product. And last month, for those that heard the show, if you remember right, Rose brought on the wonderful, fun ladies from Fitz. And they challenged me at the American Equestrian Trade Association 2 weeks ago to wear my first pair of breeches. I thought they would forget, Rose, by the time we got there. No. They have long memories, those girls over at Fitz.
You know, Glenn, the fact that you posted the picture on Facebook
disturbing.
Of you wearing, you know, that image is burned on my retinas, and I can never get rid of it.
And it's your fault. So you started it. It's your fault that you're going to have that image there forever. And then I thought, it isn't bad enough that I'm going to post the front. I also posted the back. So you got both sides.
Glenn, you know, I can't walk past a pair of Fitz breeches in the store and not think about that image. So thank you for that.
And it was so bad that they didn't even want them back. They just said keep them. So
do you blame them? My goodness.
That's funny. I said, you know, guys, I'm never going to wear these again. As comfortable as I was amazed, actually, at how comfortable they were, which was saying something. I actually wore them for the whole show, and then I almost forgot to take them off before we went to the airport, but Jennifer made me, so.
You see, there's a reason why they're one of our best-selling products. You know, they are extremely comfortable. But then I heard that your breeches went on to Jen, and now Jen is the proud owner.
They did, because I was never going to wear them again. So I'm a driver. I don't really have much opportunity to wear breeches or reason to wear breeches. We can pretty much wear whatever we want.
Well, as long as you're wearing something.
That's they were a lot of fun, though.
I've seen that blanket, you know, thrown over your legs, and sometimes I wonder.
That's it. See, there's a reason we wear that blanket. That's right. You're absolutely right. The secrets us drivers have.
Oh, geez. Can we change the topic?
Please.
Well, wait a minute. Before we go on, I got to look at how she is lined up today to see what I'm getting into next. Well, let me see. Fasoa saddles. You could put me in one of those. That would be fine. Let me see here. And the Intercollegiate Equestrian Association, or Interscholastic Equestrian Association. I'm not going back to college, so I think I'm safe today.
Well, you never know. Anything could happen.
Nothing embarrassing for me today. It's time to embarrass Rose today. Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
On today's Tack Talk with Equus Now, Glenn has stolen my thunder, Tuesday edition. We take a whirlwind trip around the tack universe, starting at Bobby's English Tack in California, and then taking the red eye back east for a chat with Peggy Murray about Pessoa saddles, and following a musical layover on the beaches of Cheyenne with Dan Roberts, and an Equus Now deal of the day alert, we will catch a Greyhound bus back home to Ohio just in time to meet Nancy Arledge, owner of the Paddock Stables. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And I got, you know, we have a lot of, you have a cool show planned and I'm looking forward to it. But I got to bring up the fact that it's September already. I'm finding that hard to believe. I really am.
I know. I mean, you can feel it. I mean, the nights are you know, shortening up just enough. And it just, there's that feeling in the air that fall is going to be here before you know it.
You know, the older you get, they say, the faster it goes. And I believe it now. Then I'm 50. It is going by pretty fast. It gets faster. That ball starts rolling down the hill faster and faster and getting bigger and bigger. But for you guys, it's even more important because September, you know, for the rest of us, September means it's going to get cooler. We're going to start thinking about pumpkins. For you, you're starting to think about Christmas trees and Christmas presents because that's what happens in retail.
It is, you know, and behind the scenes for us, this is when, you know, all the big heavy lifting takes place because our shipments, you know, they're coming in for fall, usually come in on the hottest day of the summer, you know, so the end of August, you know, the trucks start pulling in and winter blankets come in.
Oh, that was the worst is when the trucks showed up. Now, these were not just your UPS trucks delivering blankets either. This is a tractor trailer truck full of blankets.
Absolutely. And these truck drivers, they're not about to get out of their comfy driver's seat and help you unload blankets. You're doing it all yourself. And it comes on the hottest day of the year. And for us, we know that summer's over when the winter blankets start showing up, and baby, they're here. And
do you guys have a forklift? Because we didn't have a forklift.
We have a dock, so we can just, you know, pull up, you know, right to our dock and unload via hand trucks. But it's overwhelming, and it really takes the teamwork of the entire staff, you know, to get these blankets ready, you know, for the floor. And then on top of blankets, then you have all the clothing coming in. So, you know, we have the lines from Ariat and Jewels and Barber and Horsewear and Carrots. And it comes in, you know, by the boxes. I think Heather had like 58 boxes, you know, delivered on Friday. And there's another 102 coming between like today and tomorrow. So it really never ends. This is just a great time of year for us.
Yeah. And, you know, Jennifer's going to remember this. One of the things you had to think about was finding space, because you've just gone, you got rid of all your winter stuff at the beginning of, you know, spring, and you've gone all summer and everything, and you have your space allotted, what you had allotted for whatever, and then all of a sudden you've got 58 boxes of coats, and everything that comes in the fall, the blankets and the coats and all that stuff is big bulky stuff that takes up a lot of room.
Yeah, where do you put it all?
Yeah.
You know, it's a constant shift of inventory. You know, if something is coming in, something else is going out. And you have to, like, you know, forecast ahead of time, you know, well, it's time to put all the summer stuff on sale. And you plan it out, like, you know, the week before the winter stuff gets here, all the summer stuff should be gone. So really, it's a lot of thinking ahead in what you need to get rid of this week to get ready for the shipments that come in next week. But we love it. It really feels like Christmas at Equus now, because the stuff that we're buying, I haven't seen it since, you know, when I bought it, which was a whole year ago. Because we do our buying, you know, 8 to 12 months prior to the merchandise coming in. So, you know, I look at the stuff, I'm like, wow, that was cute. And the staff is like, well, Rose, you bought it. And I'm like, well, that was a year ago. I totally forgot about it. But I must have had really good taste.
I always loved it when the UPS man showed up and I always volunteered to check all of the product into the computer because then I got to play in it.
Absolutely.
I remember when
in-demand thing.
When that would happen, what you're talking about, when the fall stuff or the, you know, the new stuff would come in, all of the employees, all the women especially, all the women employees, let me put it that way, would end up running down there because they all wanted to rip into the boxes because your employees haven't seen it at all. So it's all cool
Absolutely.
For them. Yeah.
It's so funny that you mentioned that because there have been days that I've walked on the floor and I'm like, well, where is everybody? Well, the whole company is in the back playing through the new Jewel sportswear that came in or tearing apart the new Ariat stuff. And it really is like a free-for-all. And it's one of the dangerous things about working in a tack shop is that you have the first opportunity to buy everything. And they do. So.
By the way, that doesn't change by the size of the company. I've worked for some of the largest retail businesses in this industry who have, you know, tons of employees. And the customer service people, when that new stuff would come in, they all would disappear because they all want to see it. It doesn't matter the size of the company, whether you have two people or 100. Horse girls are still horse girls.
Absolutely. You know, and I think it's definitely one of the perks of our jobs. Is that we get to play with horse stuff, especially like new horse stuff that they haven't seen before.
And we always had employees too that worked for us because, you know, I'm not gonna make some major revelation here. You don't make a ton of money working for tack businesses, just like working in anything else in the equestrian world. But you do get a discount, and we had employees that worked for us just to get that discount.
We do the same thing. You know, it's definitely a perk of the job to talk about horses all day long. So I throw that into my salary, quote unquote, because I love what I do and I love talking about horses. And it's a trade-off, you know, because it's definitely not a high-dollar position necessarily, but it is emotionally. You know, it's a great job, and I'd recommend it to anybody because it's emotionally very satisfying. You know, your paycheck may not show it always, but there's a lot of other perks to the job.
So tell us,
being one of them.
Tell us a little bit about what is new and exciting coming in for the fall. Are there some changes to blankets, coats, clothing? What's the scoop?
There are. You know, it's funny that we're going to talk quite a bit about the Interscholastic Equestrian Association later on, but, you know, coats themselves have come a long way, and soft shell fabrics are definitely what's in. So we're getting a lot of soft shells from RJ Classics, soft shells from Grand Prix. It definitely looks great on the rider. It has a little bit of a sheen to it. But the nice thing about the soft shell, there's no dry cleaning. You know, you finish your class, you know, you throw your coat in the washing machine, you take it out, and it looks fabulous. So that's definitely one of the nice things for the fall. There's going to be a lot more soft shell coats. Show shirts have changed a lot. There's no more collars on show shirts. That is done. Show shirts have gone completely over to the snap neck design. And Essex came out with a model called a talent yarn that is such a stray from a traditional show shirt. But it's breathable, it's cooling, and it looks traditional, which is the important thing. It has that look of being a traditional show shirt, but not with the heat of a regular shirt. So in addition to those things, winter blankets are exciting. I'm going to talk more about winter blankets later, but there are some new designs that are coming in this year that are just so out of the box that they're making them just as comfortable, you know, for the horse as they are as they look good. I mean, they're horse friendly, which is the most important thing, you know, about the new blanket line.
One of the things too, I was hoping, and it is starting to happen a little bit with winter blankets. You know, if you think back 10 years ago when it was the first time we were starting to see the waterproof 400 denier, you know, super winter blankets that you guys would use. They were always big and bulky, but they definitely are getting less bulky than they used to, amount of warmth.
Absolutely, and at the next Tack Talk that we do in October, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about blankets. But do you remember that the Australian, New Zealand, Kiwi blanket was the
rug.
Original?
Fond memories
rug,
of those.
Yep, the orange.
Yeah. They were green. They were always green.
Green or orange, right? That orangey sort of rusty color.
Yes, that came out after the green, and they weighed like 200 pounds.
Yep.
And the horse would see you coming and start to cry because this thing would be so
anybody under about, what, 25 doesn't know what we're talking about right now.
That was
the only blanket that was around. The cowboys used to use them. They still use them, actually.
Absolutely, yeah.
It was the only blanket that anybody sold before, what, Miller's Isers.
That was made of waxed canvas.
That's it. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, Miller's came out with that Roma Haversham, and that was really the first blanket on the market that replaced that Kiwi, and then Weatherbeater followed suit after that and came out with a very economical version of that, and the Kiwis no more, thank God.
God, they used to weigh 300 pounds. They were as heavy as a Western saddle.
Yeah. And they hung down to the horse's kneecaps.
Yes.
They did,
true.
And they absorbed water.
Yes.
So they, you know, all the sweat, and they were wool-lined. And they would just, just thinking about them makes me sweat.
I don't know that they did anything that was good for the horse, to be honest.
No.
But they've been better off without one, because it basically just held the water in.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. It was terrible. But everyone, you know, that's all you had. So, you know, if you wanted to keep your horse, you know, like dry or well, more warm with anything else, if you want to keep your horse warm, you would use this. But they're so obsolete and outdated now that I think if any of our customers saw this thing laying around in the store, they wouldn't know what it was.
You ought to hang one up just for nostalgia's sake.
Yeah.
The wall might come down. They're so heavy. I don't think the flat wall could hold.
And then if you remember right, Jennifer, when we used to hang them up, and we lived in Pennsylvania at the time, and we'd have some wicked storms, and you'd have those things, and they would be outside on the horse, and you bring the horse in, and you'd hang it up, and it would be a frozen icicle. The thing would be like solid sculpture of ice.
I mean, you could take the horse out of the blanket and you'd still have the shape
That's
of
true.
The
yes.
horse.
That is right. True.
It could stand up on its own.
Yes.
The
Lord,
old
you've come
days.
A long way.
Well, you used to work, you used to work as a sales rep for Millers and Isers. You must have been carting some of this stuff around. Must have been a nightmare.
Yeah, well, look, I did it in the late 90s. So, you know, that we didn't have those Kiwi blankets, but we had a lot of other blankets. And I had a huge territory. I came from New Jersey, and my boss at Miller's, you know, offered me a job to take over the Midwest. And I don't think I ever left New Jersey before then. I was a 22-year-old kid, and I thought I could do anything. And I'm like, okay, sure, I'll do it. So they gave me this 10-state territory, and it was huge. You know, you go from Minneapolis to Lexington. I mean, it was just this enormous territory. And I would have to drive, you know, from place to place, carting around tons of stuff. But, one day I had the idea that I'd save myself a trip and some mileage, and I'd hop on an airplane, and I'd fly from South Bend, Indiana to Minneapolis, because it was January, and who wanted to drive, you know, across the Midwest that far north in January, because it always snowed. So I'm carting around probably 4 body bag-sized, you know, equipment carriers for all the sportswear that we carried, and my luggage, and my rolling racks. And I hop on an airplane, and I'm so proud of myself. You know, I did everything myself, and I had no problems. And I get to the car rental counter, okay, with my cart filled to capacity with stuff, and they wouldn't rent me a car because I was only 22 years old.
Oh, you weren't old enough.
No. There was a rule, and I didn't know it at the time, that you had to be 25 to rent a car. So I called my boss at Miller's, and I said, well, what do I do? I'm in Minneapolis. I have, like 12 bags of stuff, and I can't rent a car. And she laughed at me, and she said, well, figure it out. And so thanks a lot. But, you know, what I did was I got on the phone, because I didn't want to show any kind of weakness, you know, whatsoever, because I was so young and they gave me this great job, that I called a taxi service. And I had a taxi take me from tax shop to tax shop.
Oh, no.
Minneapolis. And the ladies at St. Croix Saddlery out in White Bear Lake, which is one of my favorite accounts, you know, they're so sweet. And they asked me if they could help me, like, carry all my stuff back to my car. And I said, oh, no, I'm fine. I didn't want them to see me getting out of a taxi. So I had...
You probably spent more on taxis than you made in those sales.
Oh, I'm sure I did. And we're talking about, like, over $1,000 in taxi fares.
Oh, my gosh.
But by God, I did it, and I live to tell the tale.
And some of those taxis went places they've never been before.
Oh, my goodness. They thought I was crazy.
You want to go where, lady?
Yeah. But no, Minneapolis, St. Paul is a beautiful area. But
in the
January,
summer.
In the summer, yeah. In the summer, it's fantastic. In January, it's a little tricky.
I'll never forget. They have the biggest mosquitoes ever there. Oh. Oh, in the summertime at night, you go, because there's all the water is around there. They have all those lakes and stuff,
yeah.
And they just have the biggest mosquitoes. Oh, they were the worst mosquitoes I've ever seen is up there in that area.
Oh, I don't know, Glenn. We've got some pretty big ones here in Ocala. I discovered that today.
Yeah, last night I went out to feed the horse, and I came over and walked by Jennifer. She said, you have like 12 mosquitoes stuck to you. And I did. They were all over me. It was, it's that time of year in Florida. Hey, let's do your product one of your product spotlights for the day.
Absolutely. First off, we're going to talk about a small company in California called Bobby's English Tack. And a lot of people aren't familiar with this line because there's very few tack stores around the country that carry it. Equus Now is one of them, and we're very proud to offer it. It's not a mass-produced line. It's an individually handmade line of English tack assembled in this small California town called Yorba Linda, Southern California, by Bobby.
I didn't know they made anything in Yorba Linda.
Well, they assemble everything by hand in Yorba Linda. And Bobby's a surfer, so I bet he surfs in the morning and assembles tack at night. And he really does an amazing job with the line. And there's a lot of reasons that Bobby's is different than other lines. Number one, it's not mass produced, you know, so each piece is individually made. So a lot of attention goes into the stitching and the workmanship in each piece. Another nice thing about this line is that you can interchange pieces and parts. So, you know, if you're buying a padded dressage bridle and you need a crank nose band, or you want to get rubber-lined reins, or you can do a padded crown. You can do anything you want to these bridles, and the price point is extremely reasonable. You know, there's plenty of bridles on the market that you pay $500. Sure, you can get whatever you want. But with the Bobby's line, you know, you're talking about a max price of $200 for a full custom bridle. And that's getting, you know, cheek pieces and cob size and brow bands and warm blood size. He can really hand assemble a bridle any way you want it. And there is no one else I could say that will do that in the tack business. So we're very excited to bring you the line from Bobby's. And we recommend that you try one out. They have a following around the country. And if you look at our Facebook page, Equus Now has a whole page devoted to Bobby's fans. And people post their pictures of their Bobby's bridles and rave about them. And it's such a refreshing thing for us. So we really put a lot of stock into Bobby and his line because he does an amazing job.
It's been go ahead, Jennifer.
I'm over on the Equus Now website right now, and I'm surfing around on the plain raised bridle brown. And this is so cool. Right in the product description, they tell you each size is available, but they tell you the size of each component. So the brow band for a horse is 15 inches, the cob is 14 inches, and the warm blood is 17 inches. So when I need to get, for example, Beaker has a short, fat head, he needs a cob-sized crown piece, but he needs a horse-sized brow band. It's right there. This is like, hello.
Exactly. No matter the shape of your horse's head, you can have a Bobby's bridle made to fit it perfectly. And it's a great thing.
That has always been a problem with bridles and halters even. You know, because either the nose piece is too big or too small, or, you know, and you need it longer or shorter because your horse has a short head or a long head. And it's always wider in a part, and they just never fit perfectly.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is one of the nicest features about this line is that you can get it to work. And I'll tell you, one of the most common things that we sell is the shorter cheek pieces and the wider brow bands. Because a lot of horses, they just don't fit into your standard horse size, your standard cob size, you know, just especially quarter horses. A lot of quarter horses just have shorter heads and wider brow bands.
Yes.
And when you have a bridle with a brow band that's too tight, I mean, it's a major pressure point for that horse's head. And by adding, you know, just a couple inches or even an inch to a brow band, it's going to make a huge comfort difference for your horse. And you're going to see a difference in his performance because of it.
Absolutely. I agree 100% because that's what happened to Beaker. Whenever I got a bridle that had a brow band that fit him properly, all of a sudden, the ear shy went away. He stopped disagreeing about getting his bridle on, all because the brow band was just a tiny bit too short, and it made the backs of his ears hurt.
Sure, you can't blame him. I mean, it's just something that's constantly like putting pressure on a very sensitive spot, and a lot of times people don't realize that that's all it is, but it's a very easy fix.
Do they have all the, do they have, you know, event and double bridles and the whole thing?
They do. They have a huge line. Their dressage bridle line is extremely popular. They use a very heavy-duty hide. And what I like about these bridles is, you know, you can use these bridles as your everyday work bridle. They're meant to handle a lot of abuse, but then clean them up, and they look fabulous for the show ring. So they're not bridles that you look at like, oh, that bridle's pretty, but I don't want to use it. Bobby's bridles are designed to be used. You know, the more you use them, the better they get. And, you know, I see a couple of them, you know, when I go out to the barn, I see them hanging there. And they're next to the Passiers, and they're next to Steubens, and they're next to really hot, super high-end bridles. And Bobby's looks just as good, if not better. I mean, he does an amazing job for the price point that he sells them at.
Didn't I see that recently on your Facebook page, didn't you have a contest or something going with Bobby's?
We did. A couple months ago, we did a, tell us about your Bobby's tack, and we asked for pictures. And we had a lot of customers post their pictures of their Bobby's bridles in action. And we got a great response. It was a random drawing, and I remember, I think one of our customers, Jen Whalen, won that particular drawing. But we do contests like that all the time on our Facebook page. You know, we really like to see the products that we sell being used. You know, there's nothing that really excites us more but seeing our stuff in action. And we really encourage, you know, anyone that buys anything from Equus Now, post it on our Facebook page. You know, we'd love to see it. It's just really a nice thing. All right, now it's time to talk about saddles. At Equus Now, our best-selling line of saddles is by far the Pessoa line. What we love about the Pessoas is they come in a huge range of makes and models, and there's really a Pessoa to fit every rider's budget. Whether you're a hunter rider, an equitation rider, a jumper, even an eventer, there is a Pessoa saddle that's going to work out for you. And we love the line. We love working with the company. And I am extremely excited to announce that we have the Pessoa brand manager, Peggy Murray, joining us live on the air. Welcome, Peggy.
Hello. Nice to be with you.
Hi, Peggy. Well, we saw Peggy a couple of weeks ago manning her station at Ada.
Yeah, I really like Ada. I like interacting with the people, hearing about all the success stories and handling problems, you know, head on in person.
Hey, before we go on though, Rose, can I throw something in here quick?
Absolutely.
You know, Peggy, we've known you for years, probably 15 years at this point. The last time Rose was on, last month, she had the girls from Fitz on, and they challenged me to wear my first pair of breeches, which I did at Ada for the first time. So if you, and then they gave me the pair of breeches to take home. So if you want to challenge me to sit in a Pessoa saddle and take one home and you're going to give it to me, I'd be thrilled. That'd be terrific. Just saying.
Well, we'll see what we can do, Glenn. You're okay. An old friend.
All right.
So
okay.
We'll see what we can do.
All right. You think about that, okay, as we're doing this interview. Just saying. Just, okay?
Just throwing that one out there.
Just throwing it out there.
Well, you know, Peggy, you've been associated with Pessoa saddles for over 20 years. And if there's anything that anyone needs to know about Pessoa saddles, I think you talk to Peggy, and she'll tell you exactly what you need to know. But Peggy, how did you first get involved in this industry?
Well, I grew up with civilian parents. Both my parents were from the city, moved to the suburbs. So my passion started with my passion for horses and horse competition. When I was 4 or 5 years old, my father, who worked in New York, took me to the National Horse Show, Madison Square Garden, and I can see them jumping as I can see what I'm looking at right now. And I was hooked from then on. And I took riding lessons, did the summer camp thing. I only got my first horse after college. I had a brief career. I showed horses a little bit in the East at some major horse shows for a few years. I worked with horses for a while, and then I got a job on a mobile unit, and that morphed into I got a job with Bevel Saddlery. And I loved that job. It was the making of me, but it was time to move on, and I went to Isers and started as the Pessoa brand manager.
That's
Isers
great.
Became Miller's. Yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's going back. You know, you and I were part of the industry, like, you know, way back, you know, when everyone was, you know, kind of doing their own thing. And now, you know, you're part of one of the best vendors that we work with, which is English Riding Supply.
Yes, Pessoa is distributed by English Riding Supply. Pessoa saddles are bought the world over, but we are the distributor in North America.
Now, Nelson and Rodrigo, they are actually the designers of the Pessoa saddles.
In conjunction with the manufacturer, yes.
Gotcha. What models do they ride in themselves?
Well, I happen to know firsthand Rodrigo rides in that Legacy XP3. Very close contact, very pared down, not covered, not a lot of decoration, very, very plain, and that's what he likes. He has several of them.
Wow.
He actually does like the exchange tree because he had a horse he needed a very, very narrow tree for.
Yeah, that exchange tree is just a fabulous design. And, you know, at our store, we fit so many horses into that design, to that exchange system, without a second thought. I mean, it just fits such a wide variety of horses because of that changeable system.
Yes, yes, definitely. Yeah.
So in the past 5 years, you know, there have been some big changes in the saddle industry. And what would you think is the biggest change that you've seen?
Well, there's two definite changes. One about saddle design. Of course, there is more education now by the consumer, so they are a little bit more concerned than they used to be about fit for their horse. And happily, technology has kept up with that, and so it's becoming easier to fit horses well. Your example of the exchange tree. There's also the design is for covered leather. A lot of people want that cushy feel. Unfortunately, sometimes this can hide design flaws because people think, oh, cushy means comfort, which sometimes it doesn't. Also, the big thing is the way saddles are sold nowadays. We still have saddle stores which carry a variety of saddles and will help you out. And those stores are becoming more professionalized, sending people out to barns with fit, etc. But there are these independent saddle reps who come around, represent one brand or another. They are friendly with the professional at a barn. They take their saddles, change them around, resell them again for cash. And meanwhile, sell the saddles to the people in the barn. And quite frankly, I mean, some of these people are very reputable, but I personally would have a problem making this large a purchase with someone that I had to get by phone, and maybe they're coming through the area next week or next month if I have a problem. I would stay with a local store. This is me personally.
I know exactly what you mean. I think that the local tack shop is a great resource. And to have a store at your disposal in your hometown that you can go to for questions and fitting, and many of them, you know, our store in particular, has a saddle fitter on staff that travels, and they're not necessarily brand specific. So they're going to find the best fitting saddle for your particular horse without pushing a brand on you. Which is a really nice thing and something that people would never want to go away because it really is nice to have.
And it is nice, like I said, that stores are becoming more specific about what they do. Some stores, if they don't carry saddles, fine. But if there's another store, usually they're very, very professional, have fitters, etc. And people should utilize this.
And tell us, Pete, about something about Pessoa's that we may not know, since you know so much about this brand of saddle. Tell us why the Pessoa is such a good choice for any level of horseman.
Well, the Pessoa saddles for all the models, all the different price points, etc., there's one thing. It's a professional-grade tool that was developed by Nelson Pessoa himself years ago. There's been changes, but it's the same philosophy of how the rider and the horse are balanced to work together. And the same philosophy has carried through the whole way, and no matter what price point or no matter what leather or decoration or whatever is on your particular model, you're buying that same professional tool.
I think that really is a good way to put it, is that, you know, there's lots of different models as far as, you know, what the saddle's made out of, you know, the forwardness of the flap, but the saddle itself is designed for a professional level rider.
Are they only for jumpers, or are there different models?
No, actually, good riding is good riding. We do have the mono flap, which is more or less event specific, but I personally believe that good riding is good riding. They're all balanced. There's nothing wrong with them either in the jumper or the hunter division. And I do know horse competitions fairly well. So I wouldn't say there's one saddle that's better. It's your choice, what you want. You know, they will help you ride better. I know that for a fact.
I did quite a bit of fox hunting in the Pessoas up in Massachusetts, and they were fabulous.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, they're great saddles.
Yeah,
they're doing something really nice.
The Pessoas themselves are still involved, very very much so in the manufacturing. Nelson Pessoa, he's a little bit, we used to call him like the princess and the pea, because, you know, he can feel anything. Yeah, years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, they went to a new leather and some extra stitching on a billet guard. He rode in one of the saddles. And the hotline from Belgium came. They had to stop the manufacturing in the warehouse. We had to pull every single girth guard off any saddle we had and change them. I mean, he can feel anything. It's quite funny. Yeah.
That's great, though. I mean, to have a rider, too, of his caliber, being so directly involved.
Yeah. And the sellers themselves are just such lovely people. I've been to two of Nelson's riding clinics, and there's no histrionics, there's no drama, it's just, and he doesn't really even say that much. It's just, almost like by magic, all the horses go perfectly. It's truly kind of weird, actually, in some ways.
Him and George Morris are in the same category. He doesn't say much either.
Yeah.
He just rides.
It's just, you know, a true horseman and a great teacher. Just they are, you know, they just are, and that's it. And Rodrigo, he's a special guy, too. He's so gentle and sweet, and he's such a, always impresses me as such a great horseman, sportsman. When somebody else wins a class, he's the first one to shake their hand, and he's just a lovely guy, really, really lovely guy.
That's great. That's nice to hear. That's very nice to hear. You know, one major thing that you touched on was saddle fitting, and I think of you know, the most common question that we're posed is how do you determine saddle fit? Okay, you don't have a saddle fitter in your area, and you're on your own, you're buying your first saddle. What would you recommend to people as tips for determining saddle fit?
Yeah, not everyone has that access. What I would do, first of all, is I would take a friend with me who has some knowledge, so the two of you are kind of working on the same, you know, talk about it, bounce it, the whole idea off each other. The first thing you want to do is check the withers clearance. Three fingers should fit between the pommel and your horse. That's really important. If you get a bad injury there, horse could be out for months and months. Now, the second thing you want to do is you want to go to the back of your horse without getting kicked. Look down the gullet channel there, and you make sure it's wide enough for your horse's spine. Make sure it's not sitting on his spine at all. The third thing is what we call is checking for bridging. You put your hand at the back of the flap near the panels and see if you can push your hand up through the pat under the panel, like where you would sit. If you can't do that, that's a good thing. You should not be able to fit your hand up there. That means that the panels are flat on your horse's back.
Yeah, you don't want to have any kind of rocking motion. It should be level.
Number four is the rocking. You don't want a lot of rocking. And then you also want to stand on the side and see if the saddle is fairly level as well. And if you do those, and then also, of course, is the width. You want to see if there's any pinch on your horse's shoulder. And if you can say yes to all those, chances are you've probably got a good fitting saddle.
Those are great tips. Yeah, you narrowed it down and made it, you know, very simple. And I think it's not rocket science. You know, you need to have a good eye. You know, you need to make sure your saddle is level from pommel to cantle and just follow those basic steps, and you're going to be way ahead of the game.
I think, too, one of the other things that, you know, people think of Pessoa, and, you know, because it has that kind of elite brand identity, that you think they're really expensive, and they're not. I mean, they're very affordable saddles.
Right. And one of the reasons they're affordable but so good and so technologically advanced is because the factory that they're in is technologically advanced. The manufacturer has devoted hundreds and millions of dollars in machinery that make the tree and the stirrup bars and everything. So, of course, if you're investing in that kind of infrastructure, you're going to be able to make a better product, cheaper. You know, we see that in products in everyday life all the time.
You know, you made a comment about the tree and the technology and the factory, you know, being assembling your trees. Just using an example with Equus now is that we've seen other saddles in that price range that do not have the symmetrical trees that Pessoa saddles have. You know, when we fit Pessoas, we have perfect symmetry with those trees on the horse's back. And that's not the case with many other saddles in that price range. You know, you really have seen, you know, warped trees, twisted trees, just trees that do not have, you know, that symmetry, where Pessoas, every time, they're spot on.
And also, it's not just the symmetry, but you have to have some balance between flexibility and stiffness. You can't have it too flexible. You can't have it too stiff. And we do get that balance spot on. And like I said, with all the, you know, between the flaps and the XCH tree, and now the MasterFit system with different panels that are available, really, you can get a custom-made saddle for half the price of what they do charge. I had a case this winter. Rodrigo's wife had a horse. If you looked at it, it looked like a Shetland pony. And she was so upset. She tried it with a custom saddle in Europe, and she couldn't get that saddle. And we fit her in 2 hours. You know, it needs a quarto panel and an XX wide gullet. You're tall and thin. Oh, okay, you get the forward flap. Bang, we had it. You know, and it was amazing. She's still like, every time, she says, oh, thank you for the saddle. It just fit great.
That's great. You know, we see our customers that bought Pessoas, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You know, they come into us and they tell us still how happy they are with their saddle. And it's such a nice thing to hear as a retailer that people are happy with their saddles years down the road.
Well,
yes, we like happy customers.
Well, Peggy, we're running out of time here. What's the website?
www.englishridingsupply.com will give you all of the English Riding Supply products, but www.pessoausa.com, and you can follow us on Facebook as well.
All right, I'm going to be looking for that Pessoa saddle. I'll send my size over, okay?
I'll send your size and your address.
All right, good. I'll do that for you, Peggy.
Peggy, you've been great. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, thank you very much for your interest in Pessoa Saddles.
Well, that was fun, but now it is time for our song of the day. We'll be right back with the rest of the show right after this. Templeton Thompson, Just Stay Crazy.
Stay crazy. just stay crazy. Songs about how the world get along. We'd all stick to right and wrong, like rolling in the daisies. Yeah, and it makes me crazy.
We're back here on Horses in the Morning on the special Tack Talk edition that we do once a month with the good folks over at Equus Now, and Rose is here with us. We also have Coach Jen is producing today. I am Glenn the Geek, and now we're bringing you the Equus Now product deal of the day.
Well, I talked earlier about winter coming up before you know it, so we're going to have a deal on winter blankets. Right now, it's still warm. However, winter will be here very soon. If you buy a blanket today through Sunday, you're going to get 20% off of any blanket of your choice. It's our annual pre-season blanket sale exclusively at Equus Now. What we're promoting this year more so than anything is our line of Shires winter blankets. Shires blankets are not commonly found around the U.S. There's only a few stores that promote the line heavily, and Equus Now is one of them. They make a fantastic blanket that gives you the best bang for your buck. We have sold thousands of Shires blankets over the years, and we find that the materials, the workmanship, the waterproofness, and the overall quality are second to none. And especially when you consider what you're paying for these blankets compared to others on the market, they stand out heads and tails above the rest. From the quick snap front closures to the slotted surcingles that actually stay put when your horse is turned out, to the elastic leg straps that move with your horse, the extra deep shoulder gussets, everything about these blankets are top, top quality. One of our best sellers is our combo neck style, where the neck piece is actually integrated into the blanket, so you won't see random neck pieces laying around your horse's pasture when they start to roughhouse with each other. Definitely check that one out on equusnow.com, and starting today through Sunday, you'll get 20% off of any blanket of your choice. So start thinking about the cold weather ahead, and we've got your horse covered from head to tail at Equus Now.
They have one of the biggest, heaviest blankets that I was taking a look at it at Ada. You know, most blankets that you see from some of the other manufacturers are 1,200 denier outer shell, which is basically the toughness of the outer shell. And then they'll have 400 grams of fill for the heavy, heavyweight blankets for serious wintertime. And they actually had a 2,000 denier outer shell. It's like, oh my gosh, it's going to be Kevlar soon.
You know, they're every year, if you've noticed, they're getting a higher and higher denier shell, which is outstanding, you know, because, you know, technically the higher the denier, the tougher the blanket. And for people that don't really know what we're talking about as far as denier, it's a thread count. You know, you talk about your blankets and your bed having or your sheets having a high thread count, and the higher the thread count, the better the sheet. Same thing goes with blankets. You know, the higher your denier, typically the stronger your blanket. But another important thing to remember, and the Shires Storm Cheetah has a ballistic outer shell. Well, that ballistic material is the same material that we've seen in bulletproof vests.
Holy cow.
And Yeah, it is impenetrable. It's the toughest shell on the market. So you can have a 1,600 denier ballistic shell, which is going to be stronger than like a 2,500 denier ripstop shell. So you really have to look at not necessarily the denier count, but also the component of the shell. Ballistic shells are outstanding, and if your horse is turned out in herds or, you know, with horses that like to play, definitely look for a high denier ballistic shell to get, you know, the most value for your money.
And that's easy to remember. Ballistic. You know ballistic, what that means.
Right. Yeah. Now, I got to tell you, too, Shires has a nice booth at ADA, and I was asked to be a booth judge this year for, they always judge the nicest booths, and Shires won this year as the
outstanding.
Nicest booth. Yeah, because they always have a booth that's built like a barn. They put a lot of money and effort into their booth.
You know, those folks at Shires are wonderful people.
Where are they out of, anyway? What do you know?
Well, technically, they're from the UK. It's a UK-based company. And they're in the U.S. They have a distributorship, or they have a warehouse in New Hampshire that they're shipping out of. But I'll tell you that as far as a company to work with, they're one of my favorites. You know, Malcolm is the owner of Shires, and he's just a wonderful guy.
Do I remember hearing that they're one of the providers for the Queen's horses for different products?
I'm sorry, what was that? I missed that.
I remember hearing a while back that they're one of the providers for the Queen Elizabeth's horses and
yes.
the horse equipment at the Royal
yes,
Stables.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I thought
and
so.
And that's a major accolade for them. And there's very few companies that are actually appointed with that seal, you know, the seal, the royal seal that they supply, you know, their rugs to, you know, the royal family.
Well, one of my favorite things to do on our show is to highlight our listeners. And when we get our listeners on to tell us their life stories, because we believe here at the Horse Radio Network that every horse person has a story. So when I talked to you originally about doing, you know, this special Tack Talk day on horses in the morning, one of the things we knew we had to do was highlight some of your customers, because every one of your customers has a great story. So now we do have one of your customers on, and I look forward to this segment so much because I love learning about people who have barns all across this country. So tell us about who you have on today.
Well, I'm super excited to have Nancy Arledge on the show. Nancy has been a longtime EquusNow customer since we moved
Yay.
To Ohio back in 2002. She's been a big supporter of our store, and she sends all of her clients into us. And she's a great character, so I'm excited to welcome her. Biggest news about Nancy is Nancy has been nominated, or she's been named, the president-elect of the IEA, which is the Interscholastic Equestrian Association. And she's here, and she's going to tell you all about it. So welcome, Nancy.
Hi, Rose. Hi, Glenn.
Wait a minute. Before we go any further, Nancy, didn't your mother ever teach you not to volunteer for organizations and boards and presidencies and stuff like that?
Actually, my husband has been saying the same thing lately.
I bet. Like the horses, I'm a horse husband, so let me see if I can recount this. He is saying, like the horses and the barn and your students weren't enough, you have to add this to your plate of things to do, I will never see you. Did I get any of that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Almost verbatim.
I'll call him and talk to him later, okay?
Yeah. The only thing missing is when my father used to say to me, when will you be done playing with horses?
Never.
Yes.
That's right.
And look at you now.
Oh, yeah.
Nancy, you run and own a great facility out in Pataskala called the Paddock Stables. And you have a very interesting story because you used to actually be a student at that same farm, you know, way back when you were a child. So tell us about the paddock and how you came full circle into owning the facility.
Well, the Paddock Stables, way back when it was built in the 70s, was named Middle Ground Stables. It's built in a development that all the roads are named for Kentucky Derby winners. And when I was 5 years old, my mom decided it was time for me to take riding lessons. And she contacted Ann Grossman, who used to run the Middle Ground Stables, and I went out there and took my very first lesson on a horse named Mama, in that indoor arena, and I have a picture to prove it. It's just weird because I rode there for a few years, then I moved on to ride with Pam Graham and do some A stuff, and I went away to college. And when I came home, I answered an ad that there was someone looking for a position, and it ended up being a girl that was leasing the facility, and it ended up for sale. And my husband and I just said on a whim, why don't we try for it? And that was 18 years ago.
Wow. That's great. Now, how big of a barn is it? How many horses do you have there all together?
We have 29 stalls, an indoor arena. Yeah, lots.
Oh. Yeah, I just everything. I just double everything that I said your husband said.
We actually have the ability to keep about 34, but we have 29 stalls in the main barn, and we have an indoor arena, an outdoor arena. We host, we live on the property in an apartment in the front that used to be a tax store by trade, and it was turned into an apartment, and we decided it would be fun to live with the horses. Don't let anybody tell you that they sleep, because they don't. It's a little noisy at night when you hear them kicking around, but it makes me feel like I don't think I would ever live away, because I would never be able to just walk out my back door and be greeted by the soft snufflies. I mean, they're fun to be around. You go to water at night, and they just hang over your shoulder, and you become more of a team, I think, when you get a chance to take care of them like that.
Hey, I have a question. You know, one of the things we joke about here on the morning show all the time, especially with my co-host Jamie, who has this habit, is that horsewomen have a tendency, if they have 29 stalls, they have 39 horses. Is that true of you, too?
Oh, gosh, you got me there. Yeah, you're right. Were you talking to my husband before the show?
Because I should have been.
You just absolutely sound like you guys could easily be friends.
It just happens. It doesn't matter whether you have 5 stalls, 7 stalls, 12 stalls. You always have about 30% more horses than stalls.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then if you have an empty stall, you got to fill it with dogs and cats and, you know,
chickens.
And whatever.
Yeah.
It's a menagerie.
Well, you know, we're going to talk more about, you know, the IEA in a minute, but I wanted to bring up, you know, anytime that we set up our mobile rig, you know, Nancy's always at the local shows. You know, she's a big supporter. And you're an amazing horsewoman, and we have a lot of respect for you, you know, in Central Ohio, and we're so glad to have you as part of the community. And one thing that really sets you apart, you know, and Jen Hetzler has mentioned this, is that you always keep your cool at horse shows. You're always very calm, and your riders are calm, and they go in the ring on time, and they perform very well. You know, there's not a lot of stress. How do you keep your team and your riders so organized at horse shows?
Well, I stress them at home so they're used to it when we get to the horse show. And I try very hard to instill in everybody, you know, you've got to have fun at this. If it stops being fun, something's wrong. And you can be a bookworm, you can try hard, but you're only 50% of the equation when the horse is the other 50% on a very, very good day. So there's never should be any blame. You know, you forget your course. I guess that's blamable. But honestly, you got to walk out of the ring smiling and saying, I guess I'll never do that again. If it's not fun, it's too stressful. And then it doesn't become a family thing. We have our team, our riders. Most of my team is my riders as well, and we all go to dinner together. It's just the horse shows are a real fun thing, like a family get-together. We don't go every weekend, so then that way when we do show up together, we like each other a lot more.
I think that helps a lot. Well, you know, you'd mentioned your team, and your IEA team was one of the original teams that was started when IEA was founded back in 2002. And now it's become this huge, huge organization. Did you have any idea, like way back then, that it would become so big?
No, we had hoped. I mean, always in my mind, I was thinking, you know, maybe I'm getting in on the ground floor of something. This would be so cool to be, you know, swept away and carried along with something that would just run rampant through the country. And I think that it has. It's been a whirlwind. I've been on the Rules and Ethics Committee. I've helped with everything and anything I can. I really believe in this organization. Had it been around when I was a kid, I think I would have been skipping classes to go do it, I guess.
I agree. Absolutely. Now, you know, with the IEA, some of our listeners may not know, you know, exactly what the IEA is. Can you tell us a little bit about the program and what you feel the benefits are?
Well, the program is unique as it is only for middle school and high school students. It mirrors the IHSA pattern, the intercollegiate, where you do not have to have a horse. It's a two-prong system where you are actually part of a team. You have to be part of the team to be able to participate, but you also garner individual points as well. And let's say I host a horse show. My team comes up with the horses and the tack, and the other teams that come in horse show draw my horses out of the hat, and they ride. They don't have to provide horses. You do not have to own a horse. That is one of the things that sets this apart from any of the other high school type organizations out there, is that you do not have to own a horse, and it is more of a team, it's team building. You have to belong to the team to be able to ride on it, and therefore some schools are actually giving credit as it being a club sport, and you can actually letter in it.
So it sounds like it's also more affordable also, because you don't need to have your own horse to compete.
Absolutely. When I have prospective new riders that come, we can actually sit down and we can almost come up with the exact amount of money that they would spend for the season. The season is 8 months long. It runs from September through May. And the students can only ride at 5 horse shows, and they collect points at their normal 5 horse shows to be able to qualify to go into regionals. And at regionals, then it's a definite funnel effect where 3 teams pass on to go to the zones. And then as your zone show, several teams pass on to go to nationals. Within that, an individual can go on as well. So you can be an individual rider, and your team did not qualify to go. So you can actually horse show as an individual. So you and your coach would go to the show. We've had many, many great successes in our zone, which is Zone 5. We've had several years of being champion or reserve champion in the high school and middle school with several of the teams in our zone.
Yeah, you've been even beating up on the Texas boys and girls.
Yes, sir.
Now, what kind of riding is it? Is English, Western, both?
It actually is. It's offered in 3 different disciplines. We do hunt, seat, equitation, Western, reining, and horsemanship, and then saddle seat.
Okay.
And we're actually even peeking into maybe stepping into the dressage at some point.
Oh, wow.
And Nancy, you've been a great success in Central Ohio, and we have a lot of respect for you and what you've done. And we have a lot of young listeners that listen to this show. What advice would you give to young riders now who want to pursue a career with horses?
Find a rich husband. Just saying.
Pardon me?
I said find a rich husband. Is that the first piece of advice?
Do not aspire to be a trophy wife.
Good answer.
You know, really, I think that kids should pursue their dream. If they dream to be a veterinarian, if they dream to be an Olympian, they need to step up and pursue that. And then from there, they'll find a branch of the tree to follow off onto, and, you know, maybe they'll end up owning a tack shop or owning a riding stable or teaching handicapped riders. There is a plethora of jobs and opportunities out there in the horse world. And I feel like, you know, the IEA, if kids cannot afford to own a horse to ride it, the IEA is the perfect outlet for them to be able to get their fix. And I really, really respect the IEA because of the chances that the colleges have to look at our riders and offer our riders scholarships. There are so many students that I know that are not sport kids. They don't belong on the football team. They don't belong to the cheerleaders. They go to the barn and they shovel and they work hard, but they're not in a sport where they can get a scholarship. And now this organization has opened the eyes to the colleges, and we actually have college coaches that come and they watch the kids' horse show. We have college coaches that actually will allow IEA horse shows to be hosted at their facility with their horses. And many, many times a coach will walk up to a kid that comes out of the ring and hand them their business card and say, I really like the way you handled that situation. I like the way you handled that horse. Doesn't matter that you didn't win. I want you to call me because I'd love you to be on my team.
Wow.
Is there scholarship money too?
I have several.
Is there scholarship money on the college level?
Absolutely, there is. There is scholarship money on the college level. There is scholarship money in the IEA. We have, you can do scholarship applications, and the IEA provides our region. We are in Zone 5, Region 2, and our region gave away
$2,500. That's Ohio area, yeah.
Well, it's Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, Kentucky, Illinois. And our region, there's six regions in our zone. Our region alone gave $2,500 in scholarships last year to just our regional riders. Wow. Then when we get to the zone, there's upwards of $3,500 for a scholarship. I know one of my riders got a scholarship to an NCAA school, which is not even similar to the IEA in the fact that they only do 3-foot level. And my rider actually got a scholarship, had a personal trainer, and loved the team, did very well.
That's something. I'll tell you, the association as a whole has done great things for young boys and girls, and it's really getting bigger and bigger every year.
Well, I do have a question. What do you do if you're in a high school, your middle school or high school, that doesn't have a team? Is there something that, you know, that those people can do?
Yes. Actually, the website for the IEA is www.rideiea.org. And if anybody that's interested goes to that website, there's a way to contact the zone chairman from each zone. And let's say that a rider from here in Columbus, Ohio, wants to be on a team, but there isn't one close by. They call up the zone or email the zone chair, or even the IEA secretary will send it on to the proper area, and that zone chair will contact that rider and tell them the teams that are available in the area. It had started out as a school sport for private schools, and now it's become, there are schools, high schools, mine is a public school that actually wrote my okay, and then there are also barn teams. So now it's opened up a big door for everyone that is involved in horses to be able to create, you know, a team that they want to show off their learnings and teaching.
Excellent. Well, Nancy, we're running out of time, so I want to say thank you so much for being on the show, and congratulations for being named the new president-elect of the IEA, and we're so proud of you right here in Central Ohio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And I'll be giving your husband a call. We do once a year, we do an annual episode called the Horse Husbands episode, where a bunch of us horse husbands just sit around and bitch about our wives. I'm going to be calling him and including him in that next year's.
He would love that, I'm sure.
Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you so much.
Well, she was a lot of fun. I can see why she got that post.
You know, she's a great lady, and I'm amazed at how she has enough hours in the day to do everything she does. She runs a huge barn, a big lesson program,
And now she's going to take over the title of president of IEA. I give her so much credit for that.
I wasn't kidding. I am going to get her husband. I have it written down here. Her husband is definitely going to be on the next Horse Husbands episode.
He's a great guy, and you guys would get along very well.
Oh, good. He's great. He's on my list. Well, let's do the next product deal of the day from Equus Now.
All right. We're going to talk about helmets. You know, last month we celebrated our International Helmet Awareness Day, and by far our best-selling brand was the Charles Owens helmet. Well, Charles Owens now has this great thing where you can customize your helmet. Well, the most popular model Charles Owens is the AYR8. A lot of people mispronounce them. They call them the Air 8. They're not. They're actually AYR8s, and they are the most ventilated helmet of any of the Charles Owens models. People love this helmet. It's hugely popular in the hunter ring, the jumper ring, even the dressage ring. It's really taking over as far as being our most popular helmet. Well, Charles Owens now has the option to customize it. Now, we're not just talking customizing color. You can customize the outer shell. So you can get a matte finish shell. You can get a leather look shell. You can get, you know, different color options with your matte shell. And the AYRA is known for this ventilated mesh system in the front of the helmet, which keeps the air circulating, you know, under your helmet, you know, which is the most important thing when you're riding. You want to keep your head nice and cool, and the AYRA by Charles Owens will keep your head much cooler than anything else on the market. Well, you can customize down to the detail of the mesh panel. You can customize the paint color under the mesh. You can even customize the piping of this helmet. So, you know, say, for example, you ride with a barn, and that barn's colors are like royal blue, gray, and silver. Well, if you're riding hunters and you're doing so, you're not going to have a royal blue helmet. But you can have your basic black Charles Owens AYR8 and get a very classy royal blue piping, which is a very small piping, and maybe a silver piping on the inside. And it's going to set you apart. You know, you're going to really stand out in the ring in such a way that you're going to look very traditional, but there's something about you, you know, that's symbolizing your barn and who you ride with. And to have a whole group of riders, you know, from one particular barn in their matching custom AYR8 helmets is a sight to behold. And
yeah, everybody's seen these, and all the professionals are riding. If you watched any of the competitions, you're going to have seen this helmet.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize there were that many choices. I'm looking at your website, and I counted there's like 10 options.
There are. People don't realize how much you can really get into the details of customizing.
How long does it take?
You know, that's the amazing thing. They say it takes 8 weeks, and every custom helmet we've gotten in has been spot on in 4 weeks.
Wow.
So they're turning these things out to us in 4 weeks for a fully custom helmet. And they're gorgeous, and everyone that's come into the store, our customers love. And it's such a nice thing. And price point wise, it's not much more than your standard Charles Owens AYR8. You know, you're basically, you know, getting a full custom helmet for a small price difference from a stock helmet. And you can go crazy. We had someone brought in. They did a leather look outer shell. And they did the paint color underneath the mesh, this sparkly silver, and the piping. They did like a burgundy and a gray, and the combination was just stunning. So you can really go crazy.
They even have hot pink on here.
Oh yeah, they have everything, you know. And you can go subtle, you know. You can go crazy. You can go disco. I mean, anything you want. You know, the choices are endless.
Okay. Can we also talk about to find that, they just search for AYR8 on your website at equusnow.com?
Absolutely. You can type in just about anything. Our website, equusnow.com, is very search engine friendly. So you type in helmet, you type in Charles Owen, you type in AYR8. All those options are going to lead you to every helmet that we carry. And the custom Charles Owen is going to be at the top of the list.
Well, I got to tell you, one of my biggest pet peeves right now is the colors. These manufacturers are making up colors that make no sense at all. Like, I'm looking at some of the options here. Honeybird cotton is one of the colors for a piping color. What the heck color is honeybird cotton? Aqua cotton, purple cotton, pink cotton, Tibet cotton. Now, I'd have to look that up to even know what a Tibet cotton was. They really are getting ridiculous with their colors. Carrots is one of the ones that does that, too.
Carrots, I think, set the trend for naming their colors unusual names. And everyone else has to follow suit now.
Yeah.
But but the good thing is, if you go on to equusnow.com, you can look up, like, honeybird cotton. You'll see exactly what that color is. If you click
and they
the
have a color
pictures.
Chart, Glenn.
Yeah, well, that's gonna be good, because you would never know what a honeybird cotton was. That's for sure.
Well, you can't call it tan. I mean, you got to call it something.
We used to call it tan, but...
no more. We used to have kiwi turnout blankets, too.
Yeah, right? That's true. That is true. That used to freeze to the horse. Well, yeah. Tell us also, you have an offer for your customers and the listeners of Horses in the Morning.
Absolutely. If you go online to equusnow.com, and you're going to find all the items that we talked about today. But exclusively for our Horses in the Morning listeners, if you type in the coupon code Horses in the Morning, and make sure it's all one word with no spaces, you're going to get free shipping on any order over $50. Plus, we're going to throw in an insulated EquisNow mug. It's a beautiful mug. It's a great promotion, and you can throw in anything in that order, and you're going to get free shipping and a free mug.
All right, and if they request it, you'll sign the bottom of the mug for them?
Absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Everybody's always having me sign their mugs, so you have to do it too.
No problem.
Because of the breeches thing that you instigated, I am, whether she likes it or not, see, I did this to the Fitz girls too. I went over and on the air, I called them out at the end of the show, and I said, well, you know, they're not here right now, so I am giving away a pair of Fitz breeches on tomorrow's Equity Wheel of Trivia. And they couldn't argue because we were on the air, you know, we were live. So they ended up having to give it out. And we had 25 callers that morning that called in trying to win the Fitz breeches. So now you were so generous the last time to give a $25 gift certificate put onto Wheel for the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia on Wednesday morning. I am committing to everybody that Rose will have another $25 gift certificate on there tomorrow morning, and you'll have to land on it to win it. But it will be one of the slots on the Wheel, and see, she can't argue because we're on the air. So.
Absolutely. I'm happy to do it. There's no argument from me. $25 from EquisNow. It sounds great.
All right. And, you know, I have to say this. You had a well-deserving we did have somebody win it the last time. And she's well-deserving, and we love her to death. She's one of our listeners out in Colorado. So so we were very happy with the person that ended up winning that the last time. And if you want to play the Wheel of Trivia, give us a call tomorrow morning at 9:05 a.m. Eastern Time. And you want to give us a call at 347-637-3238 to get put into the queue. We take five or six calls. We have multiple winners usually on Wednesday mornings. I think last week we had two winners, and we had some people get some answers wrong. Jennifer comes up with all of the trivia questions. Sometimes they're hard. Sometimes they're easy. It depends on what mood she's in or how much I've been nagging her. Either way, one or the other, give us a call and play. You could win something really good. I think we figured out that we've probably given away over $5,000 in prizes since we started the wheel.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I think we probably give away more prizes than anybody else. So give us a call tomorrow morning. We'd be happy to have you play. And thank you so much, Rose, for joining us again this month for Tack Talk. I thoroughly look forward to this every month.
Thank you, Glenn. It's great to be here. I have so much fun. You know, go online to equusnow.com, and you can find all the great products we talked about on this show. Follow us on Facebook. On Facebook, EquisNow has a ton of contests and prizes and giveaways. And anytime we do any kind of promo online, we always put it on our Facebook page first. So you'll be the first one to see what's going on our website by being a friend of ours on Facebook.
Very good. And for all of your fans who don't listen to us very often, you can find all of our past episodes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can follow us on Horses in the Morning on Facebook. And also, you can find all of our shows. We have now 10 different shows that we do. You can find them at horseradionetwork.com or on our app. That's the easiest way to listen to our shows now is just go to our app. Just search for Horse Radio Network on iOS or Android app stores. And you can stream or download the shows and listen to them right on the app, right on your phone. It is the easiest, or iPad even. It's the easiest way to do it. So we would love to have you join us on a daily basis. And I know a lot of your fans who listen for the first time have been with us and have been commenting and joining in, and we welcome them and appreciate all of our new listeners from Ohio.
Thanks so much, Glenn. Yeah, you're doing a great job. Our customers love you, and I can't wait for the next show. Take care, Glenn.
Have a great day, everybody. Wear your helmets.